Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as a tour of the battle space of the war for the free world. One of the people who I admire most in that battle space is our first guest. He is the Honorable John Bolton, former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, among many positions he served in the United States government. He is currently a senior fellow with the American Enterprise Institute. He is a frequent guest at FoxNews.com and Fox News. He is obviously one of the most important forces for good, as far as I'm concerned, in the foreign policy firmament, and always a pleasure to have with us as a guest at Secure Freedom Radio. Mr. Ambassador, welcome back.
Thank you, Frank. Glad to be with you again.
You have been rather forceful in your critique of the administration on a number of different counts, of the Obama administration, that is, and not least in connection with its handling of this very, very dramatic turn of events in Egypt. Specifically, the question has arisen about the role of the Muslim Brotherhood there and our support for them. Can you talk a little bit about how you see what's happened in Egypt and lessons that we ought to take away from it?
Well, I think the Obama administration has mishandled the Arab Spring Middle East-wide, and I think they've mishandled Egypt for the last 2.5 years. It really goes back to the president's famous Cairo speech, where he found it difficult, if not impossible, to criticize radical Islam. And the fact is that the linkages between the radicals and the terrorists are much closer than people think, and it's a very natural slide from one radical ideology into a radical form of the action that al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups represent. So when you see the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, Muslim Brotherhood is no moderate organization. When you see it systematically trying to entrench itself in power, and as this administration has done, watch that happen, indeed welcome and perhaps even encourage it, you have to wonder if the White House really understands where America's real interests lie here. I supported the military coup. I think it was something that was necessary to stop the soft coup that the Brotherhood was carrying out. When you hear people say, "Oh, but this is just terrible because the Brotherhood was elected. Mohamed Morsi won the presidency. The Brotherhood and its even more radical allies won 2/3 of the parliament, and therefore this is a coup against democracy." That's just simply not true. Number one, democracy is more than just the bare mechanics of elections and counting votes. But number two, and perhaps more importantly from an operational perspective, just because somebody wins an election doesn't mean they have thereafter free rein to do whatever they want. And the Brotherhood had a very precise set of ideological objectives in mind, which it was pursuing. It goes under the rubric of one person, one vote, one time. And the military judged, with millions of people in the streets against the Brotherhood and what it was doing, that it had to act to maintain some stability for Egypt before its economy went completely into the tank. And I think if you don't understand what the Brotherhood was up to, if you view this as like an election in Scarsdale or something, then there's no possible way to analyze what America's real interests are. And I think, as unfortunately is so often the case, the Obama administration just didn't understand what was happening in Egypt.
Yeah, indeed. Let me ask you a sort of more abstract question, but I guess it really speaks to the point you've just made, Ambassador John Bolton, namely the practice of believing that if anti-democratic elements, parties, what have you, are included at our insistence, in some cases, in elections, that you'll have any outcome other than what we saw in Egypt. They tend to win these elections. They're organized, they're disciplined, often they're very ruthless. And they, as you say, are all too given to using them once ensconced in power to eliminate further democratic processes that might remove them from it.
Yeah, well, I think this goes to the fundamental point that that a lot of people don't understand, including the Obama White House, that democracy is more than just holding elections and counting votes. It's a culture. It's a way of life. I'm not saying that there's no knock on a particular region or people or anything else. Europe didn't exactly cover itself with glory from the democratic perspective in the 20th century. Russia's going back into authoritarianism now. And so I think the rush to toss the Mubarak regime under the bus 2.5 years ago, followed by the notion that there had to be swift elections, necessarily gave the Muslim Brotherhood and more radical Salafists in Egypt a clear tactical advantage. Precisely as you say, they are better organized, and they were able to prevail at the polls. So if you take the current situation and rush back into elections again with the Brotherhood as a full participant, I don't know why anybody thinks the result will be that different. And here's the fundamental point. To have a functional democracy, all of the players, political parties, leaders, whatever, have to be committed to democracy as a long-term process, not a roll the dice one time and see what happens. And the Brotherhood, as with all those committed to a strict Sharia law approach, obviously doesn't believe in democracy over the long term. They think they know what the will of God is. They're not going to put the will of God to a popular vote. You know, are you for God or against God? They're going to tell you what God thinks, and then you're going to do what they want. So it's a party that's fundamentally anti-democratic in its core ideology, and to allow them to participate as if they're just Scarsdale Republicans and Democrats doesn't make any sense.
No, I couldn't agree more. Quickly, John, you're talking about a coup. Under U.S. law, as you know, that would oblige us to cut off support for the government now in power in Egypt. And we're certainly seeing the administration, at least seems to me, to be insisting behind the scenes, if not quite publicly, that the Muslim Brotherhood be reestablished as, at the minimum, a party to this new, you know, electoral process in government. How should we proceed with respect to recognizing funding and otherwise insisting on the future character of an Egyptian government?
Well, I would continue funding, especially to the military, because I think it's important for our leverage. I read these statutes, which are contradictory and vague, as looking like you've got to cut the aid off. So my view is, let's get a quick technical fix through Congress so there's no ambiguity. I think cutting off the aid at this point would be a mistake. I think we've got a lot of American interest here, the Camp David Accords with Israel, keeping them in place, keeping the Suez Canal open. This is not the time to forget the larger U.S. interests in the region and get involved in the intricacies of Egyptian politics.
Yeah, including insisting that the Muslim Brotherhood run the place, I imagine. Let me ask you, finally, Mr. Ambassador, our guest is former U.N. Ambassador John Bolton, to talk about a prospective successor to you in that position. We've discussed her several times in previous conversations with you. She is going to have her confirmation hearing Wednesday of this week. Her name is, of course, Samantha Power. You have as good a feeling as anybody for the character of the institution. We'll be talking in a moment with Stephen Groves about it as well. But how much of a difference, knowing what you know about the UN, does it make having someone who fundamentally seems aligned with the worst of its anti-Americanism, rather than there as our advocate and defender?
Well, you know, it would be nice if we had a president who was our advocate and defender, too. And I think that's really the fundamental problem, that this is directed by the White House. We've seen it over the last 4.5 years. There's no reason to think it's going to change. You know, if anything, ironically, with her immediate predecessor, Susan Rice, being the national security advisor, you've got a direct pipeline that I would think we're going to see the past policies continued and made worse over a range of issues of the of the tendency of the left in America when it doesn't get what it wants through our domestic political process, like on issues such as gun control, to try and internationalize the issue. I really think with the elections behind the president now, we're going to see a lot more of that in the second term.
Yeah, and the UN provides a perfect vehicle for it.
Yeah, that is the forum for it, exactly.
To the extent that they're only too happy to circumscribe or reduce our sovereignty and freedom of action and even our rights. John Bolton, you were the absolute gold standard, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of the representation we need to have at the United Nations. We thank you for your past service and your continuing service to our country at Fox News, at the American Enterprise Institute, and, of course, in your appearances with us. Keep up the good work, sir. We'll look forward to talking with you again very soon. Next up, Stephen Groves of the Heritage Foundation. We'll get his take on the UN and the Disability Treaty as an example of this international norming and what it will mean for you straight ahead.
You think. Leave your comments at 1-800-332-7131.